Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
So on today's episode of Believing in God, I've got a good friend of mine called Tim, who I met a few weeks ago at my church. And I'm just going to be asking him a few questions based on his faith and how he became a Christian and what his life was before he became a Christian. And so thank you, Tim, for joining me.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. So can you give the listeners and me a bit of a background of what your life was like before you became a Christian?
Certainly can. I grew up in a Christian home, but I wasn't a Christian, and I kind of took it all for granted. My father was actually the minister of a church, and to me, it was all a bit tedious because we were always having to go off to church and be there on time. And the whole of Sundays in particular were dominated by the meetings that my father had to run. So anyway, I just didn't really think that much of it growing up. And big thing I wanted to do was be in a rock band. I had a couple of friends, very good friends, and we formed this band. And we used to practice like 3 nights a week. We just dreamed of being, you know, rock stars. The problem was that we were trying to be rock stars at the point that John Travolta and Saturday Night Fever broke in. Nobody wanted to listen to a rock band. They all wanted disco. So it wasn't the best of times to launch a band. And in the meantime, I was also at school and doing GCSEs, or O-levels as they were, because it was a long time ago. And there were some young people who had come back from university to the church that we went to. And there was something about particularly one of them that was just really different. It's hard to put this in words, but it's like, there was something in this lady's eyes just was like sparkling life. It's the only way I can put it. It wasn't any kind of attraction between us, anything like that. There was just something about her particularly that was really different. And this kind of bugged me because I'd not really seen that in the members of the church. And so by various ways, I started joining in with a youth group they set up. And I very quickly demonstrated that I really didn't know very much about following Jesus at all, despite having been brought up in this kind of home atmosphere. And then I started to listen to people a bit more and try and learn. And to cut a long story short, there was a particular period I'd done my O-levels. It was the summer and I was just crashing out. But I was crashing out and asking questions at the same time. And I happened to get hold of a couple of books. One of them was Run Baby Run by Nicky Cruz.
Okay.
And the other one was a well-known one called Prison to Praise. I read both of these books and God started speaking to me. And yeah, things happened.
So yeah, because you mentioned about, you know, you being brought up in a strict Christian home where you had to go to church every Sunday. I kind of understand you because my mum was also elder, as they would call it, in this particular church.
Yeah.
This particular Pentecostal church. And every Friday we would have Bible fellowship. Every Wednesday we would go to church. Every Sunday we would go to church. Every Saturday, you know, she would like drag me to evangelism. And at that point, I was about 15 or 16, and you know, I didn't really want to go because I don't know how you felt, but I felt kind of forced into going to church.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
In that respect, like, was there ever a time where growing up you kind of felt resentment towards your family or in terms of them forcing you to go to church?
Well, I mean, I wouldn't say they forced me, but at the same time, it was just taken for granted. So we just had to go to a church service on a Sunday morning. When we were younger, we didn't have to go to the evening church service, which I found deathly boring the one or two times I went to it.
Yeah.
But as I say, what really made the difference was these young people setting up a youth group. And it was the first time that I'd had an opportunity as a young teenager to be able to listen and ask questions and find out more. And I think that was quite key to me encountering Christ, as well as this person who I could tell was, she was just so changed. And she, it was like she had something I did not have. And I was just so intrigued. And that's to say, the kind of things that got me going. And then the final thing that happened, interestingly, was not to do with church, but I'd done my O-level, so I've been working fairly hard, revising and so on, doing the exams.
Yep.
And you'll know this for yourself. When you've worked hard for something like an exam, you can quite often feel a real letdown at the end of it.
Yeah.
If you've done all this effort and suddenly it's all over. Yeah. And you haven't got the result, and it's a kind of funny in-between time.
Yeah.
I think God used that letdown, that sense of, oh my goodness. And it was almost as though I got a kind of way of seeing that life could be a series of trying to do your hardest and then being let down. Trying to do your hardest, and all you do is go on trying to do the next thing, and then you're let down. And I just thought, I don't want to live life like that. I don't want to kind of crash, because I don't know. It just, it kind of made me, I want something that is eternal, I suppose. I don't know if I used that word at all, but I wanted something more. And when I read these books, that particularly just ripped my eyes to see that God wanted a relationship with me, that Jesus actually loved me. And one of the best things I have to say about the process was it happened in our back passage. Now, we had a garden at the front of our house.
Yeah.
And we had a bit of a strip of a garden down one side. But on the other side, it was like a concrete passage. It was really not a nice place.
Yep.
But nobody went there, so you could be on your own. So,
yeah.
And it was a nice summer, and I was sitting out outside reading the book. The important thing in hindsight was that I made a decision to follow Jesus without anybody influencing me. So it was, and I know many people become Christians in meetings and things like that, and that's great. But for me, I think it was very important that I made the decision, and there was no one else influencing me. It was me and God. And it meant that I couldn't blame it on anybody else because I was the only one there doing it. And I think actually it made the commitment much clearer. It wasn't that I kind of, you know, had a massive experience of God or anything like that, but something inside me had changed. I knew something had happened. And yeah, then there were a number of steps after that where things started to open up a bit more.
Even though you coming on from when you felt God's presence, if you can go back then and looking at your life now, how do you know that God is with you? Like, can you give examples where
okay, so some of it, I think in the early days of being a Christian, I think I was sensing different things. So for instance, I think it was some months after I made this commitment, there was a very famous charismatic minister who was visiting the town I lived in.
Okay.
And at that time, it was a time when the charismatic renewal was having a big impact on the Church of England. And we went along to this meeting. My dad didn't want anything to do with it. My mum did. So it was, that was quite interesting in itself. All the young people went, and God definitely touched me in that meeting. But even there, that was just one step on the way. I think very often when you become aware of God, it's in stages and steps. And I think it's really cool that God does it that way, because I think it would be so overwhelming if he did everything in one go.
Yeah.
Because he doesn't want to freak you out. So I'll step forward a little bit just to show you what I mean. I went eventually to college, the university.
Yep.
And near the end of the university time, I was part of a wonderful church. I really, really appreciated it. A whole load of us were going to a Bible week during the summer.
Okay.
And we'd finished college, and there was a prayer meeting at church. I was sitting in this prayer meeting, just any old prayer meeting in a sense, and I suddenly thought I heard God speak to me, like audible words. And I was like, what? What's this? Kind of like, And I thought, I can't tell anybody this. They'll think I'm crazy. So anyway, I was struggling with what I thought I'd heard. And then about 3 days later, we went off to this Bible week. Now, this was something called the Dales Bible Week, which was a very powerful spiritual event that happened over a number of years. But this is the only time I went. And we got there and there was no program. So there were going to be talks in the morning and the evening.
Yep.
So it was 6 days of two talks and one day with one talk. The first day was just an evening talk. Yeah. So that was 13 talks by different ministers. And before each of these events, these meetings, I would go into the big tent where everybody met just to be still and to listen to God. And each time I went, I felt God tell me very clearly exactly what that preacher was going to preach on. I had no way of knowing that. There was nothing published. And by the time, the 13th time I'd heard God, and yeah, it was right every time, I started to think, okay, God, you can talk, but I'm still going to shut up. I'm not going to tell people because they're still going to think I'm crazy. But I think that was quite a biggie because I don't think God has to speak to you in English language all the time.
No.
But I think there are points where he may speak to you. And I think it was the beginning of a challenge for me to try and listen to God. I mean, really listen to God. And because in a way, if you never expect that someone is going to speak to you, you almost certainly won't hear them when they do.
Yeah.
And I needed to develop the ability to be willing to listen. And sometimes it's not like you hear a voice. Sometimes you just get a sense of God's heart. Sometimes, yeah, there's lots of ways God speaks to us and communicates to us. And I think my life has been one of gradually learning these different abilities and, you know, not being stuck on any one of them, just letting God do what God wants to do. But the encouraging thing being that God communicates. And that made an incredible difference to me. Pat, maybe a bit more of that later.
So so before we started this, you said, you know, when you were growing up, you wanted to be in a rock band. So, you know, when you finally, you know, decided to follow Jesus and the friends that you wanted to be in a rock band with, did you ever tell them about your faith? And if so, how did they react?
So I did tell them briefly about it. They thought it was strange, although one of them was also a vicar's son as well. But yeah, we carried on, that band carried on for another 3 years after I became a Christian. And we were just really close friends and it was a really special friendship. But I don't think they ever caught anything about that. And I don't think I was very bold in trying to tell them. At the same time, I was still in this youth group and then got involved in starting to play a little bit for worship. And so my musical focus started to broaden from, you know, just playing a rock band to sometimes doing things in church as well.
Okay, so as we all know, we're slowly coming out of a pandemic. And people that are listening to this might say, well, God can't be real, because if God was real, he wouldn't have let this pandemic happen. And if God was real, so many people wouldn't have died during this pandemic. What would you say to people that are a bit skeptical about God and faith and all of that?
It's a good question. Well, I tend to come at it from the point of view that I think the most exciting thing in a sense about God and his way of working is that he sent Jesus to the earth, and he sent Jesus to be born and to live on the earth. So his approach in reaching to us was incarnational. It wasn't God speaking from some high place giving commands. And I think I've really come to see across my life that I don't think God You'll have to hear me right on this. I don't think God controls every single thing, because otherwise all we are a robot.
Okay.
If God controlled everything, there is no choice for me to make. And yet, I believe God does give everybody room to make choices. And unfortunately, I think there's been this view that somehow if God is real, he should control everything. No, he shouldn't, because you would not be human if he controlled you. You would not be Chidi. It's just, it wouldn't happen. Yeah, I wouldn't be Tim.
Yeah.
You know, we really value the ability that each of us has for our independent thought. And I believe God values that to the extent that he'll still love us even if we don't choose to follow him, because it's important to him that we're making choices. It's something about us growing up as human beings that we need to be doing that. So I can quite see why some people would say, oh, you know, why didn't God stop the pandemic? But I don't think I don't think God works that way. And secondly, I think actually human beings caused the pandemic. You know, one of the reasons the pandemic spread was because of rich people traveling all over the world. That's how it spread around. It was actually holidaymakers who caught this disease and took it to different places on the earth. That's normally the wealthier people, because they were traveling very long distances. So this was a human action. And to try and say, well, why didn't God stop that? It's crazy, because you want God to disrupt the entire capitalist system then. You know, whereas I think he gives us the responsibility for the actions that we take. And so, yeah, I think it's been a really hard time for everybody. But I believe that God is in the midst of every situation. I've been to 2 funerals in the last 2 weeks. One of them was a COVID funeral.
Yeah.
And actually, God was there in the midst of it. He's not some distant God just pulling strings and making us all move as he wants. He is right there with us. My experience across my life is that whatever has happened, God is in the midst of what is going on.
So that was my next question. So how, as you as a Christian, obviously you've gone through a lot of, you know, stuff with your life. Obviously, a lot of good stuff, a lot of bad stuff. But in the bad stuff, how do you still hold a tight firm onto your faith? How do you do that?
Yeah, that's a very, very good question. I think God knows our frailties, and it's up to us in a way to build our relationship. So there's a verse in the Bible that talks about a many-stranded cord is not easily broken. It's the idea of kind of winding bits of twine together to make a strong rope.
Yeah.
So if one of those bits of twine breaks, all the others are there.
Yeah.
And this is where, for all of us, if we're going to follow Jesus, we have to develop a number of different things. One of the primary things being to talk to God. Another one will be to listen to God. Another one will be to be able to quieten our minds, and so on. There's a whole series of things I think make a big difference. But you don't just get these things. You have to practice them. It's not a matter of learning a scripture that says, boom, 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 and then thinking, well, that's it, I'm all sorted. No, actual real spiritual change takes a lot of time and effort, of commitment to see that thing become real inside. And my experience has been that when you have that, even when the really difficult times happen, God is there in the most remarkable way. I remember particularly a situation where my wife and I had been waiting to have a baby. We wanted to have children.
Yeah.
And my wife became pregnant after about nearly 3 years. We were over the moon. We thought, this is wonderful. And then after about 15 weeks, it all went wrong. And my wife started having major problems. And while that was happening, we were praying and praying for God to protect this child. And in the end, we had to go to hospital, and that was it. It was finished. And needless to say, that was one of the biggest negative things that had ever happened, because I'd always expected that God would rescue us, and he didn't. And that child didn't live. But what was interesting was my wife and I came back from the hospital. And, you know, there's a scripture about King David when his kind of illegal child with Bathsheba, became ill and then died. And it says of David that God was so with him that he was able to get up and go and pray and worship in the temple. And my wife and I felt a similar thing for both of us at the same time, that God lifted our spirits, even though we couldn't understand why this had happened. We knew that God was there. And because God was there, everything was different. It didn't mean they had answers. It didn't mean things got fixed. But there was strength and comfort. And I've seen that in the funerals I've been, where Christians have died. And actually, God is right there with people. You could say, well, why didn't God save them? Well, he didn't. And I'm sure that he could do, but he didn't. But he is there with us in whatever we face. And I think that's something that you just end up having to go through situations and calling out to God for his help. But you need to call out for the tiny things as well as the big things, because otherwise the big things are even bigger when you come to them. Whereas if you're asking God for help every single day of your life, in every situation that you're in, you will be more used to wanting his presence and being open to him working in situations. And that has very much been the direction that the Holy Spirit has led me in over the years, is just trying to build as close a relationship with God as possible.
What you said really touched me, because I've had quite a few miscarriages and stillbirths. So in that particular moment, was you or your wife ever angry with God?
I think we were mystified. I wouldn't necessarily say we were angry. Where it got more interesting was that a while after, my wife became pregnant again. Now, the challenge then is that you know that this might not work out.
Yeah.
Because you've just seen it fail. And after about the same amount of time, which is about 12, 13 weeks, things started to go wrong again. And we're God, no. And so we went through several days and we're like, oh, what's happening? I'm praying.
Yeah.
Went into the hospital. They did a scan and the baby was still there. And I remember shortly after that, I had to drive somewhere up north. And there are times you just pour out your heart to God. You don't understand what's going on. And I just, in the middle of this car ride, was saying, God, why did we just have to go through this? Why have you put us through it again? And God, just as clear as anything, said in the quiet of my heart, you knew that I could take life. You needed to know that I could keep it. And it was like the moment I heard that, I knew that child was going to live. And she still had another, probably, where are we now, 25 weeks left before being born. But I knew she was going to make it. And she did. And she's it was an interesting challenge. And it's not one I like to relive. But then, you see, interestingly, after having had that thought happen, we lost 3 more pregnancies.
So, oh my God.
And the last one, that was particularly difficult. And sometimes God just stresses you. I don't know why. It's just that maybe there's a weakness between my wife and I in having children. And that's what happens. But amazingly, God has given us 3 daughters in the midst of that. So I choose to look at the blessing in it, of these 3 wonderful girls, and I know that I am a different person because, and my wife is, she'd say the same, a different person because of going through that experience together. It built us so much closer together, and just, I don't know, for us, we sought God. That's what we did. We didn't get angry with God. We just kept calling out to God. And we had some wonderful support from friends around us at the time, from church.
I know I've only just met you, but I feel like I've known you all my life. I mean, it's unreal because, like I said, me and my partner are going through the same thing where, you know, I've had God knows how many miscarriages and God knows how many stillbirths. And it's like, you know, I don't know where to turn. I don't know what to do. And it's like, you know, every time I ask God what's going on, like, he speaks to me clear as day. Like, and he's like, okay, what's, like, the thing is, I guess I need to just try and hold on to my faith, but it's really difficult when, as you know, when you've been in them situations. So for anyone, so I've got one last question. So for anyone that is listening to this and they're like, Tim, I want to get closer to God, but if you see what I've been through, if you've seen my history, don't know if God will accept me as I am, what would you say to them?
Okay. I'm not worthy of God doing anything in one sense. And I don't think it's about our skill or anything else. I think about choosing to lay everything down before him. I don't know any other way to grow as a Christian other than to lay down my life. I believe that effectively it's like a continual choice to be crucified with Christ on the cross and to believe that you are risen in Christ and you are seated in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Those are the promises of Scripture. And I constantly encourage myself with that, even when I feel like everything is totally hopeless. So I think that's important, because it's not about our skills and our almost anything else. But what does matter as well, though, is for a lot of us, there are times in our life where things are generally okay and we're not facing major challenges. And it's what you do in those times that will get you ready or not for the really challenging times. Because if you haven't been building your relationship with Jesus in times that are unstressed, it's really much harder to do it when suddenly stuff happens and you're feeling overwhelmed. So I would always recommend continually talk to God. I can't live without chatting to God. I chat about everything that goes on, God, inside my heart. I'm not necessarily spouting out aloud. All day long, I'll be chatting to God about stuff. And sometimes I'll get a sense of a response. Not always, but God's quite happy with me rabbiting on. I don't think he's got any problem with that at all. And it's changed me doing that. And it means that when stuff does happen and stuff still goes wrong and not everything works as you want and there are stresses and problems, well, he's there and you know he's there and it changes everything. But knowing he's there has been a practice as well as something that happens in the instant. You know, you practice that presence of being with God. And as I say, you need to do that in the times. So for me, a lot of that started when I was a young designer. I used to be an interior designer. I worked in London and I would be walking around the streets of London and I would just be talking to God. And I felt really stupid at times, but it was like God was encouraging me to quieten my mind and bring thoughts to him if I was troubled by them. And it just helped me to start to quieten and be able to hear and sense God's voice and the working of the Holy Spirit. But that took months of just practice.
Okay, just one last question and then we're going to wrap up. So for anyone that is listening to this and they just need a word of encouragement, what would your word of encouragement be?
Okay. I know that I am loved by God because he loves me exactly as I am, not as the finished version of me. I mentioned the stories about the problems we had with pregnancies. And then the last one, I remember going to the gym after that had happened, the last one, and I was on this a cycle machine and I was just crying my heart out. I couldn't stop, and there was this sudden little moment where I just sensed the voice of God saying, I love you just like this. And I felt a total mess. I felt utterly useless. Everything had gone wrong and I felt powerless, and God still loved me. And oh, I can't tell you. I was just like completely blown away. And my belief is that God is absolutely in love with every person. I believe God has got plans and purposes for every person. And if we could only start to receive the love that he has for us, we would, every one of us, be blown away by it. It's just the most incredible thing. And I would so recommend opening your heart and saying, God, show me your love.
Thank you very much. Do you know what? I think I've done this podcast for so many, or just over a year now. And honestly, I think this is one of the best podcasts I've ever done because, yeah, like I said, I've gone through so much stuff, you know, with the stillbirth, with the miscarriages and so on and so on. And just to know that God is with me, even when I don't think he is it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
You're right. You're absolutely right. And I sensed that when we first met you. It was like you kind of know when someone knows God. You just do. And you know God.